Amen. Well, hey, thank you for two things, by the way, as we get started here. One, thank you for being patient with the thermostat. I know we could hang meat in here. We're working on it. It should be better now than it was 20 minutes ago. So thank you for that. Thank you also for letting us light it up a little bit. So State of the Church is something we do every so often. We used to do them annually, but we found out it's been like 5 years since we've done this. And so we thought, you know what? We'll bring a little excitement to midweek. So I hope you enjoyed lighting it up a little bit with a full band. So yes, and maybe if we applaud loud enough, they'll make that a regular thing. So, you know, hey, they can maybe hear me in the back. Now, hey, if we have not met yet, my name is Brad, and I just have the privilege and honor of hanging out with you here tonight to do something a little different. Typically, what we would do now is open the Bible and just kind of work our way through a book, but we thought it would be the right time of year to just sort of pause for a moment, look back a little bit at what God has done in our church over the last number of years, and then give you a little idea of what's coming. There's a lot of really interesting initiatives that we're rolling out, and we want you to know what's going on, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. So I met a couple of you here tonight that are new, guests with us, first time. Perfect time to come, because you get to hear kind of who we are, and in that, have an idea of what we think God is leading us into as we move forward. Important for you to know right off the bat, we're a multi-site church. A lot of people forget that. We have two campuses. We have this campus here, and then we also have a campus one block south of Fig Garden Village. I don't know what just happened. One block south of Fig Garden Village. Our Fig Garden campus used to be the Cross Church. We've been in that facility since day one, and that's our other campus. So if you do live on that side of town, certainly worth checking out the Fig campus. They meet on Sunday mornings. And so with that, you know, the passage that's been on my mind is Exodus 15, and in some ways, several passages after that throughout your Old Testament. Let me give you a little context, and I'll share with you what I'm thinking. So when you get to the end of the book of Genesis, the people of God end up heading down because of a famine in the land into Egypt. They start as guests in Egypt under the oversight, really, of Joseph, who's there to sort of protect them. And then Joseph dies and things get a little weird, and now guests become slaves. And they end up being slaves in Egypt, the people of God do, for 430 years. And then if you're familiar with your Bible, there are plagues that come into Egypt, and Moses is raised up as a deliverer, and the people of God now are leaving Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parts, and there's all of these incredible things that God does. And what's interesting is what happens in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, fresh off of, literally probably still wet from crossing, well, I guess technically not wet, dry, from crossing the Red Sea, but at least having just experienced this Red Sea parting, here's what it says. It says, Moses, for he was highly exalted, he stopped now, and he said, "The horse and its rider have been hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. This is my God. I will praise him. My father's God, I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." So fresh off of the Red Sea crossing, literally, this sea's just crashing back over the Egyptian army. He just stops to remember and to acknowledge the goodness of God. And I just want to make sure, as we talk about what God has done, that we give credit where credit is due. We have a great staff. The good things that have happened have not been because of our staff. We have a great elder team. The good things that have happened have not been because of a good elder team. It's because we serve a God that still does amazing things. Now, granted, amen. Now, granted, we haven't experienced biblical plagues. We haven't experienced a Red Sea crossing. You know, it's a little different than what they experienced there. But all throughout the Old Testament, after that sort of moment of God putting his power on display, they're often looking back. I mean, how many passages have you read where you're like, okay, they're talking about the Exodus from Egypt, and it's the Exodus from Egypt and the Exodus from Egypt. Why? Because they're giving credit where credit's due to their God who has gone before them. Psalm 130, or 143 rather, says this: "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hand to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land." And so we want to look back. In 2018, we started something here at The Well that some of you weren't even around to experience. It was the most aggressive and significant step we've ever taken in the history of our church. We started a campaign we called Cultivate. And Cultivate was going to do three very significant things. We were going to give away $500,000 into strategic initiatives in our city, combating human trafficking, helping with orphan care, investing in the next generation, and helping other local churches. Little did we know back in 2018 that helping, say, St. Rest Baptist Church in Southwest Fresno, helping them build a student building would be actually a school when COVID hit and the school shut down and the church opened its doors and the kids went there for schooling. Those are the type of things that we did with Cultivate. The second thing we wanted to do is renovate our Fig Garden campus. Built in 1969, it's a wonderful facility, but we picked up 7,000 feet of additional kids space. And so really phenomenal work there. But the big lift was getting onto this property. We went from 5 acres to 53 acres, and some of you were a part of that whole journey. I was terrified. We'd never done anything like that. And if you would have told me that the healthiest thing we'd done as a church is a capital campaign, I would have said, you're crazy. But what we did is we did a capital campaign with our values. We were generous right off the bat, and we didn't beat people up for money. We just said, this is what God's doing. And if you want to be a part of it, great. If not, see you next week. Bring your Bible. And it's not a big deal, right? No pressure in that regard. And the Lord provided, and here we are occupying this property, which is really amazing. Now, we had Psalm 71 drove the process. It's on the monuments that are out there. It says, oh God, you have taught us from our youth, and we still declare your wondrous deeds, that even when we are old and gray, oh God, do not forsake us until we declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. We wanted to reach now the next generation, and that's what we did. But in the process, before we even occupied this land, we realized we still needed to take another step. We needed to build a space for our students. And so we launched another effort. We took the first $500,000, set it aside, and we're planting a church in City Center, which is the mission's new development there off of Dakota and the freeway. That's moving forward. We're excited about that. We renovated the Fig Garden Sanctuary and modernized that, which was great. And then we began to put together a plan for building a student center. And I'm very excited that we're doing that, because just over the last 3 months here as a church, we've grown by 1,000 people in 3 months, which is amazing. Because people are hearing the gospel. And what's exciting about that is if you think about what we do as a church, it's really not very fancy and really not in many ways very impressive. We just teach the gospel and we invite people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ and then train one another how to walk intimately with the Lord. And so to see more and more people experiencing the hope in Christ is amazing. But we're also seeing more kids coming. So we had 1,200 kids in our summer palooza, which is insane. There were 500 volunteers, and we've experienced at both campuses a 40% growth in our kids' ministry this summer. So when you look at what's coming here in the future, we just know there's a lot that we need to take a look at. And we've got a few exciting announcements that we sort of want to share with you as we look back and begin to look ahead. One is this. We recognize a growing need for helping children with special needs and families with special needs. And so I'm excited to announce to you a new initiative. We have hired a special needs coordinator. Her name is Brooke Potter. And Brooke is on our staff team with the express purpose of developing a team of people that can help care for those who are fearfully and wonderfully made. See, we believe that God doesn't make mistakes, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's wombs, and there are some who are made more special than others, and we want to care for them and for their families. Because if you are or know anyone who is a parent or a whatnot of a caregiver for a child with special needs, it's hard finding a place that understands and can minister to them. Now, we have not always been great in this area, which is why we hired Brooke. And so Brooke's going to be rallying a team. Brooke's going to be training our kids' ministry teams. Brooke's going to be training us as a congregation, because what you're going to find is kids with special needs are going to worship, but they're going to sound a little different than you sound. But in that, it's a wonderful, wonderful, joyous thing to hear them worship with us. So we're launching that. We'll explain where here in just a moment that's going to begin. But that's going to go along with new gathering times. We mentioned to you that with the growth, we want to make some room. Two things we're doing. One, our Fig Garden campus, as of September 10th, is going back to 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. They really like that hour passing time. If you've been to that campus, it's got a beautiful sort of courtyard in the center of the campus. And so they wanted more time, so we're going to do that. And here at this campus, starting September 10th, we're going to go to three gatherings, 8:30, 10, and 11:30 here in the morning. Still going to keep midweek, so we're still going to rock our time. Same time, 6 o'clock, get you a street taco. But our special needs ministry is going to be at our 8:30 gathering. We're going to start there. As we raise up a team, we'll begin to expand from there. But we wanted to give you a heads up on that. And then our middle school offering is going to be at 11:30 as we go to those three gatherings. We also, here at this campus specifically, as it relates to our Sundays, have been without a campus pastor. So Mike Sirisoni took a role out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we started to pray, looking around at somebody the Lord might provide. And the backstory of how God brings people at the right time to this place is absolutely insane, because we have a top shelf staff. And when you have a role like a campus pastor at this campus, that's a big role. And God has provided. I'm excited to announce to you, we have a new campus pastor we just hired. He's here on the screen for you. His name is Kevin Manning. If any of you are familiar with North Point Church in West Fresno, he's been on staff there for 21 years. He is absolutely amazing. He was their youth guy for 18. He was just in our all-staff meeting here this last week when the squirt gun war broke out. He was right there with us. He is absolutely fantastic. And so Kevin is going to start here on the 15th of this month. You'll be seeing a lot more of him on a Sunday morning. So pretty excited about that. And we think he comes just in time, because we are now fully permitted for our student center. We are moving now. All systems go. You're going to see dirt moving out there on Wednesday of this next week. And so we are moving forward very, very aggressively. We've shown you some things about our student center that we're building. It's going to have a coffee house connected to it as a place of community. It looks kind of like this. We've shown you some of these pictures of the outside, but what you haven't seen is what it's going to look like on the inside. And it's going to look on the inside something like this. So we are very excited to create a place where community can happen. You can come hang out with friends, come visit with your life group. You can come do business in this place. It's going to be run proudly serving Cup of Joy coffee. It's going to have top-notch service, top-notch connection opportunity. And so this is our cafe, certainly something to be excited about. So that's what's coming. Now, one of the things I want to mention, and then we're going to show you some additional things, is this. You know, as we talk about the student center and we talk about the renovation of our Fig Garden Sanctuary and the launching of City Church, some of you have not been a part of Cultivate. And it would just be, I think, amiss if we didn't invite you to be a part of it if you would like to. And your seat backs is an envelope that says Cultivate. And if you are new to this church, but interested in being a part of what God is doing here, we would love for you to participate in Cultivate. We are about halfway through our campaign. And currently, to date, already given $7.6 million, which is amazing. There is a very real chance that we can pay for that entire student center, the renovation of our Fig Garden campus, and the launching of City Church cash. And so if you're interested in being a part of that, what we do here at The Well is show you what God is doing and just say, look, if you feel called, great. And if you feel called, we'd love for you to participate. Grab that envelope, give whatever you feel led to give. If everybody gives a widow's mite, we move the needle on that thing. We can build that thing cash and continue to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. One of the focuses, and then I'll get out of your way for a bit. One of the focuses here at The Well has been next generation. And if you've got a middle schooler or high schooler, you've seen that. So when COVID hit and schools locked down, our elders, whether you agree with this decision or not, based on what we saw regarding COVID, said, I'd rather our kids get COVID. And I'd rather the mental health of our kids be addressed. Now, that's a debated issue, and I'm certainly not trying to pick a fight, but I do want to say this. We had hundreds of kids whose parents said, man, I really want my kid to be connected. And so we've created space for them through the years to find sanity in chaos. And so we want to show you a little bit about what's happening in our student ministry. And so let's take a peek at this.
Hey, Well Church, this is Jordan. I'm the student ministries director, and I'm here joining you from one of our WSM gatherings. Student ministries here at The Well functions on three different values. First is heart over hype. The second is we over me. The third is give over give. And with heart over hype, that means that we are going to unabashedly disciple students. We are not going to bait and switch with fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. But the point of what we do is not a community center for youth. It is that we love to introduce students to Jesus and grow their hearts in him. The second being we over me is that we do everything in community. We battle against the lie of this world that you need to do everything alone. The Christian life is never done alone. And we provide life groups for every student to be a part of, growing in faith and life and everything in between. And then older people who are in the next stage of life with them to walk through those things. And then give over get. We want to create a culture of service. We want students to know that they can contribute to this kingdom world here and now. All of these things are undergirded by our life group structure. We love introducing students to other people who want to pursue Jesus and the mess of life. You know, we want this new property to be a port in the storm so that students and their life groups can grow together.
Our group is pretty special because they are all best friends. The way that our group started is one or two of them was coming pretty consistently to middle school, and then slowly but surely they kept bringing their friends, and then they would bring another friend, and now we have a group of about 14 girls, and the life group is the friend group.
We can only encourage them more and more to dig into the Bible and dig into God's word and be present at youth group and life group time.
The hardest thing is watching someone you love and care about going through something that's so hard for them. And I mean, that's walking with anybody, but I think we both have had moments of, I hear you, I see what you're struggling with. I kind of have more perspective on it than you, so I want to just jump in and fix it for you.
Yes.
But that's not what our role is. Our role is to walk with them and listen to them and give advice and point them to Jesus, but ultimately trusting that the Lord is gonna work out in their hearts what he needs to work out.
It's been sweet to see that some of them have really grasped on the fact that Jesus is there regardless of what they're going through.
Not only are we a life group, we're a friend group.
Just a friend group that has our hearts on God and are just trying to seek him, even through all the challenges and stuff. And I feel like, I mean, we all struggle with things and just, we're so grateful for each other.
Like, friends are amazing to go through things, but God's like, it's different with him because, yeah, you do have to trust a lot in him because it's difficult to trust something and believe in something that you can't see. But it's also like really nice to know that someone's there with you at all times.
It was definitely an encouragement because it gets very boring and lonely in the hospital, especially on some days when I'm not allowed to go out and do things. And just bringing normal to it, not trying to talk about it or bring it up. Like, they just come and we play cards. We talk about what's happening at school, just normal things to make me feel better. And my whole life group has come too. We all hung out and did what we would normally do on a Wednesday night. We went around, shared our highs and lows. We talked about some scripture, and it's really nice having some normalcy there and just bringing everybody together.
But it was so sweet how they wrapped around her very quickly, and they just wrapped around their friend so easily.
I was pleasantly surprised that these girls are just continuing to stretch themselves and act in a way that I think is beyond their years to love their friend.
The lifeblood of the ministry is life group leaders, older people, next stage of life, discipling students, walking with them from the sixth grade through graduation, and all of the things, all of the difficulties that they face, being younger people with very real world problems and anxieties, having people in this next stage of life to walk with them is incredibly integral to their walk and their growth. And so that's what we're about. That's what we keep doing and what we keep pushing towards as a ministry.
And some of you have been on the receiving end of this, or you know this to be true, that you never know when you need community until you need community. And to already have that in place when students are going through some of the most difficult seasons they can go through as middle schoolers and high schoolers, such a gift. But for us, it doesn't stop there. We're also looking at the kids, the little kids, the fifth graders and below, saying, okay, how do we help them to have a similar experience as our middle schoolers and high schoolers? How can we help them get into community? How can we help them process the gospel? And truthfully, we've never seen anything here at The Well like what we're seeing. When we started this church, we didn't have a children's ministry because we didn't have a single child. There was none. I think my wife was pregnant, and that was it. And now I walked into our kids' ministry here on a Sunday morning, and there was 100 2-year-olds. And so things have changed a little bit, you know? And all that being said, we're looking at our kids' ministry saying, hey, what would it look like for us to get more intentional about what happens here and more intentional at what happens in your home? How can we help train and equip both kids and parents to raise kids in the Lord? And so we want to share what's coming next. Let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Jordan Niles. I am the Kids Ministry Director here at the Well Community Church. And we, as a kids ministry, we have 5 values. The first 4 really represent what happens here on a Sunday, and that is fun, safe, gospel-centered, and small groups. The 5th one represents what happens the rest of the week when you are with your kids, and that is what we like to call partner with parents. For years, we as a church have been saying that parents are the primary disciple makers of the home, and we as a church want to come alongside you and resource and equip you for the spiritual formation of your kids. But over the last couple years, we started to ask, what does that actually look like? How do we do that? I'm reminded of bringing my son home for the first time, my firstborn, and walking out of the hospital with no more doctors and nurses and looking around and thinking, are they really just gonna let me leave with this kid? And we never want parents to feel like that when it comes to the spiritual formation in your home. So we have created a framework for family discipleship, which consists of 5 different buckets. What we want to do is to provide clarity for you on what it means to disciple your children. Think of it like we're going to help you build a trellis in which your family can grow. And we want to resource and equip you towards these 5 things.
Creating intentional time with God as a family is using the rhythms that your family already has and creating a space to think about, talk about, and live out the gospel together. This could look as simple as inserting a time of prayer for your family during mealtimes, drop-offs for school, or even bedtime. It could also look like doing a family devotion together, where you're walking through God's word together and how it applies to you and your family.
Everyday conversations is another great way to practice family discipleship. This could look like picking up your kids from school and asking them about their day and helping them to see where Jesus was with them.
Circles of influence is being mindful and aware of who's speaking to our children's lives. So that would be their friends or leaders at church, but also inviting people that we love and respect to continue to speak in their lives and affirm the things of God.
1 Peter 4 says that radical hospitality is a way to serve others and bring glory to God. One way of doing this is by inviting people over and sharing a meal around your table.
We want to celebrate the significant ways that God is working in the life of the family and child. Some of these marked moments include child dedication, when your child accepts Christ and celebrating their spiritual birthday, and baptisms.
Who's this on the donkey?
Pizza.
Yeah, and what are they waving?
Yay,
Jesus. Are they waving the leaves like this?
Yay.
Yeah, and so they're saying, yay, Jesus.
So discipling our children has been an area of growth for us. It's been hard to try to figure out where their abilities are or what a 3-year-old can understand, what a 2-year-old can understand, and just what that looks like. So Eliana loves going to her class on Thursday nights and participating and doing all the activities, and she comes home with so many great and wonderful projects that they create. And we were finding that these projects were all over the house. And so what we decided to do was create a God box for all of her creations to go into. And the idea is that there is one place that she can go to pull out everything that she's been learning about Jesus.
It's fun to volunteer. We love investing in other kids and their lives. But we've been doing that alongside a lot of other couples for a long while. And so to entrust those parents to know those volunteers and then see our kids go to them. Many of them are even dear friends or in a life group with us. And so to see our kids get discipled through kids ministry, through friends of ours and other volunteers we've known for a long time, it's a pretty rewarding feeling for us, but also pretty neat to see them discipled by great people and great friends.
Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same.
So we do a family worship every night. We read the word together as a family. We'll sing a worship song or a praise song together, and then wrap up with family prayer. Those three things are kind of the staples of family worship night.
Thank you for Mommy, Daddy, Everly, and me.
There's so many opportunities to bring in Jesus and what the word says, and whether it's a conflict and talking about the heart behind why we're doing what we do, just always bringing it back to what God's word says.
She actually will engage in the conversation more with us if we are talking through things that she learned in class. That is one of the reasons why we're so grateful for the kids ministry at the Well, because it is so intentional with them, and it can help us remind her of things and get her back into more of a headspace of, yeah, let's talk about Jesus like I did in my classroom.
Thank you. Good news, and trust me. Suddenly, Jesus' friends heard a loud whoosh. You want to put it in the bookmark?
I wonder what the money.
We as a church believe that one of the most important things you will ever do is to teach your kids to know and embrace the gospel. I also understand as a parent myself that this is one of the hardest things you will ever do. My hope and prayer for every kid that walks through our doors at the Well is that they would come to know and embrace the gospel at a young age and to never walk away from it. One of the most important things I can do is to partner with you in this journey of raising our kids to know and love Jesus.
So Proverbs 22:6 says to train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, I wish that was a guarantee. We still have to parent by faith, but how many of you have experienced a similar story to Jordan's when he took his first child home? Do you remember what it was like? Or how many of you have looked at your child and you thought, I'm supposed to disciple you? Like, I'm still trying to disciple me, right? And so we want to partner with you. Now, Jordan mentioned a few values, and I wanted to reiterate those here. He said, what happens here on a Sunday is driven by five things. First is fun. We want your son or daughter to have a great time. Second, we want it to be safe. Third, we want it to be gospel-centered, that it's about the gospel. Fourth, small group-driven. Because we do life in small groups, why shouldn't they? And then the fifth was that partnering with parents. And they talked about intentional time with God, simple everyday conversations, circle of influence, radical hospitality, and marked moments. 3 John 4 says, there's no greater joy than this to hear of our children walking in the truth. Now, that's where we need your help. As we look at both campuses, the Fig Garden campus has grown in their children's ministry 30% since last year. And this campus, I think I mentioned already, 54%. The primary reason we're going to 3 gatherings is kids. And that means we need to rally a team. We'll train you, we'll walk with you, we will fingerprint you, and we will make sure that you are all set. But as a church, we are raising the alarm bell to say, hey, it's an all hands on deck moment, because we need to steward these kids that are coming. Would love for you to pray about jumping in and being a part of that with us. Now, here at the Well, we talk about our values, and one of our values is to be engaged in what God is doing in our city and in our world. But as we come every Thursday and we attend gatherings, we can lose sight of what's happening outside of a Thursday night. What is God doing and what are we a part of? And so we want to give you a little glimpse behind the scenes of what's happening in the world of missions. Let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Kyle Guerrero, and I'm the missions pastor here at The Well. And currently, we're in the Lowell neighborhood, which is just a little bit north of Fresno's downtown. And here we are at Martin Park, which is doing amazing work here with the kids. They are our newest local partner that we get to work with, that we get to engage in the community with. What's amazing is that halfway around the world, we work with another organization called AIM, and they are also working with kids to keep them safe and to create an area where they're not gonna be targeted for human trafficking. There's four critical needs that we are trying to meet here in Fresno and around the world, and they're anti-human trafficking, education, students, and homelessness. So we're partnering with organizations that are already doing it so that we can come alongside. They're the professionals, but we're the church, and we want to work together with them to just to come alongside of them, to partner together, to walk hand in hand, to see Jesus change the lives of people in each of those categories of homelessness, of students, of education, of anti-human trafficking. These problems are not unique to Fresno by any means. It's the same sin that is here is also in other parts of the world.
Our life group started as four or five couples from Reengage. And we continued on as a life group. And then when Foundations began, we decided to do a Foundations life group. And then we doubled in size. So now we have just a great group of couples that we are truly family. And several of them are in the classroom doing working with the kindergartners, and we do other projects. The guys go up to Hume Lake and work on projects up there. So it's been really neat to be able to serve and do life together, and we are truly family.
Serving at Susan B. Is really an answer to prayer for me, because I was a kindergarten teacher myself, and I missed being involved with little ones. Love kindergarten, that's what I did before. And the best part about it is you get to connect with these little guys emotionally. I am cutting up fruit for a brunch for the Susan B. Anthony. Tomorrow is their first day back to school, and we love supporting the teachers.
Cutting out sight words that are printed on little pieces of popcorn. And so we play a little game with the kids where we put the pieces of popcorn in a little popcorn bucket, and they pick one out. And if they can read it, they get to keep it. If they can't read it, they put it back. And if they pull out a pop, they have to put all the ones back in that they gathered. So it's, the kids love it. They think it's a game, and they don't know they're learning, so it's pretty fun. So we do a lot of little games like this.
In the middle.
This is a good game.
Oh, okay.
What age is that?
Yeah, you made it.
Nice.
What?
So I think life groups play a huge part in everything that we do missions. I know I was part of a life group at one point where every month we served at a women's home, and it completely changed our life group. It completely changed our family. And so life groups play a critical role, because as a group, you get to experience, just not sit on a couch and learn scripture, which is great, but you also get to engage. Serving does a lot. It really opens up our eyes to what God is doing locally and around the world. We get to see people, we get to see names, we get to hear their story, and we just get to be with them and pray with them. And in some way, maybe offer hope. And in return, we get to learn about who Jesus is and how good he is.
Some of you may not know, that's great. Some of you may not know, we've actually had people from our church partnering with Susan B. Anthony Elementary for over 20 years. Just teaching, doing library work, teaching sight words, helping kids. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. We wanted to just show you what's happening locally here in our city. We'll give you a little glimpse of what we call affiliates and partners. Affiliates are people that we like what they're doing, and so we're helping. Partners are people that we go in very significantly with. We take 10% of everything that comes into the well and we set it aside for mission so we can do these things. So as a church, we're tithing into the mission work that's happening all over our great city. And we've narrowed down our focus to combating human trafficking, homelessness, education, and students. That's our focus even here in the city. We'll do Serve Day here this fall. We've done that for years where we'll go and serve in our community. Every life group has a service experience that we ask them to go and find an organization and serve. We even have families that'll say, hey, our family, we want to go do something. Instead of going out of town for the weekend, we want to go serve for the weekend. There's a website called surffresno.org that you can go on to. We're curating some serve projects. You can go and be a part of that if you'd like. But we also want to show you what's happening globally. So if you take a look here at the map, you can see these are the places where we here at the Well Community Church are boots on the ground involved. So primarily focused, as you can see, in Central America, North Africa, and East Asia. But we are very committed to bringing the gospel to every neighborhood, which means even neighborhoods all over the world. And then we have affiliates, partners as well, globally, that we can show you a list of. And then also what we call extended family, which is our term for missionary, but they're our family, they're just there. Here a couple of weeks ago, we had one of our extended family from North Africa working in a predominantly Muslim country here at church, happened to be back a little bit, and so got to say hi to her and encourage her, and she's got a care team that's with her as well, supporting her, but these are the folks that are out there, and then global interns as well. So just great, great things happening, more engaged here at the Well than we ever have been. And then finally, we want to show you one more thing. We've made major changes in terms of our life groups, and you've heard even a theme here tonight of life group, life group, life group. We have a staff in life groups like we've never had before. We have a new director of life groups, Melissa Denisi. So most of you ladies, if you've been a part of Women's Bible Study, may know Melissa. She ran is running our Women's Bible Study and has been doing that forever. We now have life group coordinators at every gathering. So the gathering coordinator tonight for life groups is Jason King. You've seen him around. So if you want to get in a life group, we are more capable today to get you in a life group than we ever have, but we've made major changes, and we want to tell you a little bit about that. Let's take a look.
I am Melissa Denisi, the Life Group Director at The Well, and I've been on staff at The Well a little over 10 years, and in that time, I've had the joy and the privilege of helping people grow in their relationship with God in smaller groups. I started out helping life group leaders feel cared for and equipped in what they were doing, and spent some time writing Bible studies and teaching women in our church what it means to be a follower of Christ. And over this past year, we've seen some exciting growth in our church. And my prayer for our church has been, as it grows bigger, it would also grow smaller. And so what I mean by that is my hope is that our church starts to feel like you know each other. And I mean know each other. We do life together. We know the ups, the downs, the good, and the bad. So a few years ago, our team actually did some research into effective ways to have life group and how to best get people into a life group, what helped them stick, and what helped them ultimately grow and flourish in their relationship with Christ. And so that was how Foundations came about, because we realized it was to host something at the church and have something that was sort of a neutral zone for people. Maybe it's somebody who's trying a life group for the first time, or someone who's led life groups in the past, but coming to the church and signing up for a group and walking through this 11-week curriculum that really took you on an experience.
So this was designed to help you know each other's stories, to help you hear about what you're walking through in pain, sin, and suffering, to encourage each other to live on purpose and serve in our city, and celebrate things that were going on in your life. And so we saw that in these 11 weeks, groups were bonding quickly because we were going deep. And we're excited because this season, Brad has written a curriculum for our life groups to go through to really lay the foundation, which is why we're calling it Foundations, and what we hope you experience in a life group, because we want to see people connect in community. We want to see people be able to encourage one another in their faith. We want to see people be able to build each other up. We want to see people able to come alongside when things are hard or difficult, or celebrate when things are going well. But our heart beyond that is that these life groups would move into living rooms in every neighborhood in our city. Just before the pandemic hit, our family moved across town. We are a young family. Both of us work. We had kids that were 2 and 3 at the time, or 3 and 4. We were busy. There were a lot of reasons why life group was hard for us. And so why not find some people in a similar season as us and just say, hey, this is hard, but at least let's do it together. And so that was how our life group started in our new neighborhood. And I, the life group leader, felt vulnerable and took a risk and said, what would it look like if we got together every other week and started a life group? And what a life-giving thing it has been. And that is our hope, right? That you get to do life in a smaller pocket. We come to this big, big gathering on a Sunday, but weekly you get to sit in a living room with people and process what you heard in that sermon. Process some prayer requests that you brought up the week before. Talk about what you've been reading in scripture. Break bread together. Have fun together. And so this process of launching a life group through something that's more experiential into something that's deepening in your home, we found has been really successful. And so that's what we hope to see for our church, that we get to have at life group launch, that then get to move into a living room and use those resources that we've created as a life group team to keep those relationships going, to continue to spur each other on in your faith.
So as Melissa mentioned, we recognize that for a lot of folks, taking a step into a life group is hard. And midweek is very unique in that every single week we do open groups at those tables. And that's literally just like, hey, if you want to put your toe in the water a little bit, kind of see what a group might be like. You can jump into an open group anytime you want just to experience it. But we wanted to launch groups effectively. And we felt like training and equipping one another to enter into a different kind of a life group experience would be better. Look, if content transfer, meaning just the acquisition of knowledge, led to life change, we should be the most transformed people on the planet. But what you're probably going to find in your spiritual life is that you're going to take one step forward and two steps back. That you're going to walk with God intimately and then something's going to happen. The flesh will come in. Or you'll think you're doing well, but there's that besetting issue. And the question is, how do we really walk with God? How do we literally live out this Christian faith in a way that's pleasing to Him? And I don't think the answer is just coming to midweek. And I don't think the answer is just going through another Bible study where you sit around a living room and say, so what'd you get for number 2? God so loved the blank. Anybody get world? I got world. Okay, let's move on. That's not going to transform us. So what we created is a bit of a process-oriented, experiential, participatory environment that's pneuma dynamic, meaning it's spirit empowered, where your leader is not there to teach you. Your leader's there to go on a journey with you. And you're going to go on a journey with God and figure out what God wants for you. And that is wonderful and it is terrifying. And yet it is so sweet. And so our prayer is that you would get engaged in a life group as you feel comfortable. Here at The Well, we say often, we want to be as available to you as you're comfortable with. Some of you are guests, and you're like, man, I just got here tonight. Well, if you're comfortable taking that step, then take that step. But if you're not quite sure yet, then just keep bringing your Bible and we'll keep walking out our faith together. But just know the next step is a life group. That's the way we do life together. And we feel like if you can find a community that you can be both needy and needed, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what we really want for you. That being said, I will say that over the last week, there's been 200 people sign up for life groups. We have 36 new groups launching. It is absolutely amazing. The community life team wanted me to make sure that I said that their goal was 40, so we're four short. So if you feel like helping them get their goal, feel free, just let them know. But look, we will walk with you and train you and encourage you. And the launch of Foundations, if you participate in that, as a leader, we do training about 30 to 45 minutes before your group will actually meet, and we'll walk you through a game plan for that night. You'll be trained and ready to go. And the beauty of the Foundations experience is it's now a curriculum that we wrote, so it's our language written by our people for our people, and there's childcare provided, which if you've got kids, it is a nightmare to do a life group with littles, especially if most of your life group are all young families with lots of littles. It can get a little loud. So if you're interested in that, we've got some space available and would love to have you participate. That being said, as a elder and a lead pastor here, I'm really excited about what's coming because I feel like we are better positioned as a church to care well for our body than we ever have been before. We've even taken a step to hire a gal named Katie DeManby, who's been around our church forever. Katie was my assistant like back in the early 2000s. She is awesome. She works at our counseling center. She's developing a care team of people that just are gonna love on people. They just had a funeral meeting the other day where there was, 15 or 20 folks that just said, if anybody passes away, I wanna help. And they're gonna bring in the food and they're gonna handle the facility and they're gonna care for the family. So we're growing in that regard. And we're becoming, as Melissa said, a large church that feels small. We'd love for you to be a part of that. And so let me just close in a word of prayer. Just thank God for what he's doing and we'll wrap it up here this evening, shall we? Father, we just pause here for a second as we finish our night and just acknowledge your goodness. None of this happens if you don't go before us. None of this happens if your spirit is not initiating. And we are so thankful to partner with you in what you are doing in your church. So here at The Well, for the guest that is with us, I pray that they would sense our heart, that we want to see everyone connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. We want everyone to come into a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, and we will walk that mess out together. That we will serve each other and love each other and walk with each other and care for each other, that we might, by your grace, be transformed more into the image of Christ over time. So God, would you bless us? Could we be a beacon of hope in our city? Whether it's in a gathering or in a group or in a coffee house that opens, could this place, whatever environment we're in, just be a place where people see Christ? And in that, Lord, can see that there's hope. None are too far from the work of the gospel. And so, Lord, could we all live downwind of ourselves enough to walk humbly before you and simply invite people in to the richness of life with God through Christ. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.